Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the Internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking, still alive and still kicking. Welcome to Roaring Truth with myself and Jim Fetzer. And we've got a lot in common. And today we have even more in common, and that's what we're going to be talking about. So good morning, Jim.
Well, alive and kicking, but just barely, Maria. I can't believe this ongoing, you know, the suffering, the pain being inflicted apparently as a result of chemtrails that affected you. You live in a part of the country historically has clear skies and clean air, and it's all polluted today.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Phoenix, Arizona, which is about an hour south of me, is the heaviest sprayed place in the world. Okay, I don't know why, but that's just the way it is. And I had gone down to Phoenix this weekend to meet up with my daughter who lives in San Diego. And I spent 2 days there. And in the middle of the second day, I just looked at her and I said, I got to go home. I mean, I started feeling so shitty. I said, I got to go home. And, you know, she, you know, was, oh, mom, you know, maybe it's just a cold, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. And now today, 3 days later, she has it too.
Well, it may be because Phoenix has a heavy concentration of veterans, retired military. I think they are particularly targeting former military because they know how to use weapons and don't take any guff and be willing to stand up against the imposition of a military police fascist state by the government.
Right. I don't doubt it. Believe me. You know, I was rereading some of Lenny Horowitz's work, and I know some people have personal issues with him because of his religious stance, but you can't throw away the baby with the bathwater, okay? Lenny was the first one to track that anthrax to Fort Detrick. You know, he's the first one to come out that SARS was full of shit. All these different things, and as soon as he exposes it, they go away. But he has quite the article on chemtrails and why and what it does. And he says it's a man-made bioweapon to destroy your immune system. So if you become chronically ill, you become dependent on the state. It's population control. And it's also, I think, depopulation. You know, they're killing us with chemicals every day in such a slimy, sneaky way that still people don't want to see it.
Well, Maria, it's so obvious. I mean, there have been many exposés that these are U.S. Air Force aircraft that are spraying. The government has to know. The government has to be behind it. Why aren't our congressmen and senators doing anything about it? That, to me, is the outrage.
Well, if you remember, because I do, when Dennis Kucinich was in office, he tried to pass a bill to stop chemtrails. And the only thing they stopped was Dennis as he lost his seat in Congress. Do you remember that, Jim?
Yeah, I thought he was the smartest member of the entire Congress, actually. And that's what happens, you know. If you speak up against the government, as Cynthia McKinney spoke up about being a new Congress, new members of Congress being asked to sign a pledge to put the interests of Israel ahead of those of the United States. And you know, if you don't, you find yourself confronted by well-financed alternative candidate. Mm-hmm. Kucinich has been exposing a lot of governmental corruption, so they redistricted him out of his seat.
Right. I remember when he wanted to create a Department of Peace. You know, yeah. But when he wanted to run for a president, you know, they ridiculed him out of the office. I mean, this is the kind of country we live in. So for people listening, I want to give you some of the symptoms of chem flu, because a lot of people, since I've been posting this on social media, holy crap, Jim, how many people worldwide are going through this right now? First of all, for me, it started as an earache. Then the earache felt like a sinus infection because all my teeth started hurting. Then I was extremely tired, and then the muscle pains began, which felt like somebody was stretching the skin along my spine. I couldn't even bend down and touch my toes. And the sweats and the chills at the same time. And yet, you can test yourself. You have no fever. And I'm very fortunate, Jim, because I have a doctor who's not only a naturopath, but he also does what he calls manipulative surgery. So I called him on a Sunday because I told him, I'm dying here. Any chance you're going to be in your office? And when I went in and he tested me, he just said to me, Maria, your body is poisoned. He says, you need to do a strong detox. And, you know, we talk about the chemtrails and whatnot. And then yesterday it was still so bad. I went to urgent care and it just so happens this female doctor walks in and she says, do you have the crud? And I start talking to her about chemtrails. But what was even funnier, Jim, she reads my chart and she says, Maria Heller. She says, I know that name. She says, do you work with Joe Anthony? I was stunned that she knew about our new show we kicked off for Supernatural Kids. So we got into a conversation on that, and she did say, look, nothing you're going to take is going to work because this has to run its course. She says, you can take Sudafed and Aleve to treat the symptoms, she said, but that's just treating the symptoms. But she, too, was in alignment with what I'm saying. So I'm very fortunate because when I let people know what my doctors say, they're like, my God, I've never heard a doctor say anything like that, you know? And I'm like, well, I'm just either very lucky or maybe the Lord himself puts these doctors in my path because they know how I am. But I could tell you it's very, very miserable. And, you know, she said the course of time is 12 days. You know, I'm on my fourth day, and because I have a healthy immune system, I'm 80% better today. But certainly not 100%. What about you? You said you've been sick for quite a while. How long has this been going on with you?
Well, it seemed to me more like a traditional cold, but it's been probably eight or nine days at least, maybe longer. I was seen by a physician and was given an antibiotic, but it's very clear that the regimen has run its course and it hasn't made a difference. Mm. I have a lot of sinus congestion. And not sleeping terribly well, difficulty breathing. But I would like to think that I'm nearing the end of the course for me.
Right. Well, when I asked her, do I need antibiotics? She says, this isn't going to work for antibiotics. Are not going to work for what you have.
Yeah.
So, you know, her best thing was, you know, take some Aleve, which, you know, is... an anti-inflammatory for the muscle pains because it just feels like somebody's punching every area of your body constantly. And she said Sudafed. And when she said Sudafed, I kind of went back in time. My teacher, Sun Bear, many years ago, had to be 30 years now, he said, when you get sick, the only thing that works is Sudafedrin, and that has to be Sudafed. And now if you know or you've ever tried to buy it, Jim, you have to show ID, they take a picture of your driver's license, and all this to buy Sudafed because the excuse they give us is kids are using that to make crystal meth.
That's ridiculous.
Okay, I think the reason we have to go through
that. I'm
encountering
the same thing here with all these procedures for getting something as simple as Sudafed. It's just ridiculous, Maria.
Well, I think it's deliberate. I don't think crystal meth has anything to do with it. I think it's because they know Sudafedrin works. Because if you look at what we used to take back in the day, it's no longer in any of those products. So, yes, I see a conspiracy in everything because everything is a conspiracy. You know, when I was reading David Icke's last book, I was like, holy crap, it's worse than I thought. Phantom Self, where I told you, I'm pretty sure I told you, he covers a lot of your work too. He was talking about that they're also including now smart dust and nanoparticles in, you know, besides all the other heavy metals that they're spraying over our heads every day. So if you think about smartphones, you know, your smart meter, smart this, smart that, and you toss in some smart dust that we're inhaling, we are ripe for them taking us all down, especially on an immune system level.
I think you're right, and it's subtle in the sense that it's not like putting people up against a wall and machine gunning them to death. It's more subtle than that. Use their own bodies against them by altering the environment in which they're subsisting to make it a negative one for productive health.
Exactly. Well, that's, again, why I use my favorite hashtag, No Lives Matter. You know, so to me, this is more important than the ridiculousness of the supposed election, because you and I know they're never elections. But yet nobody wants to talk about it. There's so many ignorant people that don't want to hear it. So thus, I posted the patent, a whole picture of the patent online today. And I put down, for those who have eyes but cannot see, a little biblical quote just for the hell of it.
Well, I think you're right across the board here. We have had some unusual developments politically, including this bizarre event of Mitt Romney coming out to attack the leading Republican candidate, where Romney has failed twice. He is, given how many Republicans are opposed to Obamacare, it was modeled after Romneycare in Massachusetts. Romney has attacked Trump on his taxes, but Romney had a problem. He postponed again and again and again. He actually only released his taxes on the 21st of September, which is like 6 months hence, relatively speaking. And, of course, he was a vulture capitalist, Maria. His company would take over successful companies and break them up and sell them off for parts. That's the kind of guy he is. That's how he made his money.
I know. I did quite a show on Romney when he was running with Webster Tarpley. Webster Tarpley's book was outrageously good. And then they had a movie on Netflix about Romney and his family, how disappointed they were he didn't win. His wife said he'll never run again. But now the scuttlebutt is he's getting ready to toss his hat into the ring.
Well, I think it's very clear that he was coming out and, you know, being very self-possessed and aware of how he was looking when he made this attack, which really was intended to be, look at me, I'm the guy who can save the party and save the nation. It's complete rubbish, but I think he's self-deluded to the extent that he actually thinks someone could take him seriously. I mean, it's completely ridiculous on every count. He's a Mormon, of course, right, and they're among the greatest bigots in the history of the United States. So why anyone should think that Romney would hold any promise as a candidate is beyond me.
I agree. I mean, they really got to be scraping the bottom of the barrel. I also read, I think it was today or yesterday, that Michael Bloomberg has decided not to win because that might throw more votes to Trump.
Right. Well, for Bloomberg, it was an ego thing. You know, he hates to see another billionaire where he is apparently even wealthier than Trump attaining such success, which he feels would rightly belong to him. But after a lot of polling and probing the depth of support for Trump especially, he realizes that he would only further break up the Republican support for an alternative candidate and thereby be implicitly supporting Trump. There's a very, very interesting critique of Romney by a fellow named William Boardman, who writes for Reader Supported News, where he focused on how Romney talked about understanding why the people are angry, and that this is the very brand of anger that has led other nations into the abyss. And he starts pondering about what could Romney possibly mean, because for most American voters, we're already in the abyss.
Right.
And just listen to this number of arguments he makes, Maria. The Supreme Court gets to pick your president and body. If you're a woman, we don't care who rapes you, as long as you carry his baby to term and stop this nonsense about controlling your own body. Why should you have more rights than poor people who get their bodies set to pointless wars by rich people who just go on getting richer because you're using up ammunition equipment that they get to sell to all the sides fighting over nothing? Like in Yemen, where the Saudis have run out of hospitals to bomb, so they're using American cluster bombs on schools and churches, leftovers from Iraq or Syria or Yugoslavia or Flint. No, wait, they don't cluster bomb Flint. They simply poison the water. They're still pumping poison water and making damn sure that consumers pay for it.
Right.
Some of the highest rates in the country for poisoned water.
Well, it's not, right. It's not
value added.
Right.
That's the Republican way to which Democrats acquiesce. Who cares really about Flint or poor people or black people? Black lives don't really matter, or someone would listen to them.
And
but
no,
not
right.
when the leadership class has become the lootership class, and even the political revolutionaries are more about money out of politics and not about American troops out of more than 100 foreign countries helping to prop up dictators who will foment terrorists and others who will never know what it's like to be American and middle class and to go decades without any improvement in your living standard.
Mm-hmm.
But at least they took away your jobs and your homes and your pensions. And if they didn't, they will, or they'll try to. What? Are you one of those people who wants bankers to go to prison for stealing your future? Good luck with that.
Mm.
Not to mention your kids over their heads in education debt in a country where education used to try to teach people how to think for themselves, not just become dependent profit centers for an ever smaller elite that complains about paying 70% of the country's taxes when it gets only 95% of the country's income. How is that fair when we're the ones maintaining the world's largest military to preserve the global abyss? And here at home, cops can't shoot unarmed black people fast enough to distract them from the celebrity rape-a-thon where Bill Cosby is now the black Bill Clinton on his way back to the White House, where opportunity and interns beckon and the abyss abides. And we abide in abyss so varied and changing, we can reassure ourselves it's really different places and not just one big abyss.
Right.
It is.
Right. Well, you know, when you talk about Flint, you know, it's not just Flint. They found the same situation, actually worse, in Louisiana. Here in Phoenix, I had gotten a story. My eyes were popping out of my head, Jim. This man lived in Phoenix, and he used tap water. And he was here for three years, and he came down with heavy metal symptoms, almost dead. He moves to Colorado, he gets tested there, and the level of heavy metals in the water in Phoenix had all but killed this guy. And then the next day I get another article. You know, listen, I know it's hard to believe, but Arizona has more boats per capita than any other nation, any other state, even though we don't have an ocean. We have tons of lakes, a lot of them man-made. Well, they put out a warning last week listing three of our major lakes, and they said you can fish there, but don't eat the fish. The mercury content is off the charts.
Really?
Okay, so you look at that, and I'm sure you've noticed Indian Point nuclear plant is leaking like Fukushima, and now they're admitting that the leak is much worse than they said it was. So we continue to radiate and pollute the whole country from the East Coast to the West Coast. And, of course, it's going to affect all the people in between. We're getting hit with everything you can. I call it a chemical perfect storm.
Yeah, I mean, from one side, we're hit by Fukushima. From the other side, that put a looming catastrophe in New York, which threatens the lives of millions, tens of millions of people, Maria. I mean, this is truly catastrophic.
Well, you know, right after 9/11, I had gotten a call from Mark Elsis. He used to be on my show regularly. And it was the day after, and he was in a total panic, okay? He had sat and figured out the timeline and the lies they gave us. He had called NASA. He called everyone he could. And then he said to me, Maria, those planes flew over Indian Point nuclear power plant. Okay. He said if it was a real terrorism attack, they would have hit the power plant, which would have taken out 4 to 5 states. So if you think about it. If that really was terrorism, why would they hit two buildings that were white elephants in New York and half empty? Why not, if it was real terrorism, I would think they would have went after the power plant because that would have taken out millions of people. And now it's leaking anyway and has been longer than they've admitted. And something like 6,700% higher than they originally said. So if everybody's breathing,
I've yet to hear any of the candidates running for president say a single word about it.
Or anything you and I talk about. I'm tired of who has the biggest dick, who has the spray tan, who has big hands, little hands. What kind of morons do we have in this country to back any of these people that could be so stupid and childlike, where they're not discussing any real issues like the fact all of us are running out of air to breathe, okay? That's the truth of it.
And I'm convinced that there's only one of them who's shaking up the establishment and has the potential to make a real difference, and that's the guy who's being assailed from all sides, Donald Trump.
Well, I also think that Bernie Sanders is on that level, too, because he's really speaking for the people. I'm surprised neither one of them have been shot.
Yeah, Bernie is my alternative, too. They're both authentic. They're both genuine. They both care about the people. They both represent patriotism, nationalism, populism. They tapped into this very deep anger with the government for its constant failings, especially over the last 20 years, especially since 9/11, which has been used as an excuse to transform our country from one in which at least we exercise certain freedoms to one in which we have practically none, and to divert our military to conduct a series of wars to benefit Israel. It's completely disgusting, and that's exactly how it is. And I compliment Trump for calling Bush out for not keeping us safe. And
right.
Jeb just sank into the quagmire. He couldn't cope with it.
I know.
I mean, but how can you take anyone seriously when he trots out his mother to campaign on his behalf? Not to mention his brother, who is the worst president in the history of the United States.
I got to agree. Have you seen the article or have knowledge of, the article was actually about a 52-year curse on the Republican Party imploding. And it said that every 52 years, the Republican Party implodes. And that's when they do what a lot of them are talking about right now, is splitting the party and trying to find another candidate. I found it a very interesting article because I had never thought about that. And they said, and here it is 52 years later after this. I guess the last time this happened was when Barry Goldwater ran for president. So I find it quite interesting. And then I wonder how much of this is by design.
Well, it's fascinating because the party clearly is imploding. I mean, here you have a new candidate. He's an outsider. He's a fresh face. He's bringing in millions of new voters. He wins across every demographic group, Maria. And yet the Republicans, instead of supporting him, are attacking him in a last-ditch battle to preserve the control of the country unto themselves. They fear Trump because he's going to transform the country. He's going to change things in serious ways, and they don't want that to happen. So you have a party that's destroying itself rather than to support the candidate who is the choice of the people. Notice how in having a Romney come out and tell the public how they should vote for a candidate
is totally
authoritarian, paternalistic, and undemocratic.
Well, what did you think about Bill Clinton showing up where people were voting, breaking the law, basically?
That's just plain embarrassing. And Bill Clinton, of course, has a history as a serial sex abuser. He was even thrown out of Oxford for raping a fellow student, where Hillary has been an enabler. The book by Roger Stone about the Clinton's war on women is how Hillary has gone out of her way to protect Bill from criticism, complaints, and lawsuits by women whom he has raped. I mean, it's completely outrageous.
Right.
So the comparison of him with Bill Cosby and the idea we should be sending Bill Clinton back to the White House again is enough to make you want to vomit.
All right. Hey, you get no argument out of me on that one. I'm just watching this, and I'm like, you know what? If Armageddon was ever going to come, I would say we're pretty freaking close to it, okay? But I kind of think of Armageddon like my mother used to. She'd say, Armageddon the hell out of here. Today
is, well, there's so many neocons who are out there eager to provoke a war with Russia. It's really bizarre that we have been so tolerant of Obama and his incompetence for so very long. But the world swooned because he was tall, dark, and handsome, and didn't pay attention to the policies he's been implementing for close to 8 years now.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, absolutely. Let's look, we go from shit to stink. That's just the way it seems to be my whole life. Jim, today is World International Women's Day. You're the only man that I talk to that I know feels 100% behind women's rights. And when I saw that it was International Women's Day, you know, I put it up and I put some posts and some words there. And I said, wouldn't it be nice if we could end the rape culture, if we could end rape as a tool of war, if women actually could choose whatever they wanted to do with their bodies, you know, why have an International Women's Day when, as John Lennon sang, woman is the nigger of the world, and still is?
Yeah, it's appalling, absolutely appalling. I believe at heart that Trump is very profoundly for women's rights. I do think his temporary attitude opposing abortion is not deep and sincere, that his support for Planned Parenthood is genuine and real, and that were he elected, you'd find he was a very strong proponent of women's right to choose. I see that in him, even though some of his statements seem to fly in the face of that interpretation.
I know.
That's my read on him. He has developed a strong daughter. He seems to have, you know, he's had his dalliances, his divorces, but who hasn't, right, in this day and age? And I see him as a far more worthy and moral figure than, for example, a Mitt Romney or a Marco Rubio or a Ted Cruz.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'm sure sooner or later those other two losers are going to step down. But I have to tell you, when Ben Carson ended his campaign, the first thing I could think of was, but didn't his God tell him he was going to be president? So maybe his God, I guess his God is not omnipotent. He must be one of the lesser gods.
Well, you know, in Florida, Rubio's donors are holding back to see what happens on the 15th when Donald Trump is going to crunch him in his own state and put him out of commission. There's already talk of running Ben Carson, who's also from Florida, for the seat that Rubio vacated in order to run for president of the United States. That was a real gamble, one that Rand Paul avoided by arranging not to have his candidacy for the Senate and for the presidency on the same ballot, a special arrangement by the Kentucky legislature that was looking upon him very kindly, where now he's not going to suffer the indignity of a Rubio being not only defeated for his quest for the presidency, but no longer even able to serve as a U.S. senator.
Well, that's a plus, because I got to tell you, there's certain words that just fit certain people. I mean, I got to say, and I know you're a fan of Trump, but buffoon always comes to mind when I'm listening to him. And I hope you're right that most of what he's saying is hot air and he doesn't mean it. But when you look at Rubio, he's a twerp, okay? Remember the word twerp?
Yeah.
It fits Rubio perfectly. He's an idiot. He's a robot. And he's the lowest form of pond scum I've seen in a long time. So I won't be crying when he gets hammered out of the race. All right,
there's many contradictory reports about Rubio. There's some about him having a long-term affair with an associate where they've taken 17 different trips together.
Oh, yeah,
and a lot of it appears to have been paid for by campaign money, but also that in his youth that he was a gay hustler working the parks with wealthy men, you know, for pay for sexual acts that we don't need to describe,
right,
but are clearly apparent. I mean, this guy looks like he has a very, very mixed past, not to raise the issue of whether he or Ted Cruz is actually even eligible, because neither of them appear to be a natural-born citizen as defined under the Constitution.
Exactly. And by what they say, they would have thrown their own grandfathers out, because that's how they came to the country. So let's shift gears a little bit, because I know there's a lot going on with you that I'm stunned over. We'll cover that in the second half, but quickly, Nancy Reagan finally dies. Okay. And yet they want us to believe that she was upset before she died about the GOP's party for 2016. And I said, okay, now everybody's going to start making her out to be a saint. And all I could think of, I'm pretty sure it was in one of Roger Stone's books, that her nickname was Blowjob Nancy. Okay.
Well, this was in her youth. Kitty Kelly had a wonderful book about Frank Sinatra, and in the footnotes in that book, it talked about her having the reputation for giving the best head in Hollywood, that they'd drive around town in convertibles and Nancy would do her thing. But I do believe that she genuinely loved Ronnie, as she referred to him, and that she was absolutely dedicated to him once they married. My belief would be that she was a faithful and supportive wife and was really very much the conscience of his political operation and saved him from predators who would have manipulated him for their own benefit.
Well, if my memory serves me right, she gave Frank Sinatra a blowjob while she was in the White House. And I don't really care, but it's like, would her just say no? You know, she screwed this country just as much as the Clintons, just as much as the Bushes. And none of these people are heroes as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, you may well be right about that story of Sinatra in the White House. That could very well be true.
All right.
We don't have a lot of saints in this world, alas. And she did do, I think, a tremendous amount of good for her husband and gave him
helped him to define
his political path.
I think she covered up a lot of his senility, too.
You know,
and she probably was running the White House the same way Hillary Clinton was when Bill was in office.
Yeah, the long goodbye with his gradual deterioration from Alzheimer's, where in the end he may have not even been able to recognize her.
Yeah, for all we know, it could have been a weapon that Bush used against him, because Bush always wanted that spot, George H.W. You know, listen, to me, like I said earlier, Jim, it's all a conspiracy. Unless the government proves different, everything they say is a conspiracy. Anyway, let's take a short break because you got so much going on. I can't even believe it, man. You're like, you got a target on your back, Jim. So stay with us. Oh, my God. I mean, all right. Every one of my friends always takes note of how my house is directly sprayed with the big X's above it. So I'm sure they want me dead, too. But, man, the shit you're going through is off the chart. So stay with us. Jim and I will be right back.
She's been called Paula Revere, the mother of the internet and even a legend. The mouth that roars all truth without any input from corporate, religious, or political affiliations. Rhea's in it just like you are. Often imitated but never duplicated. Commercial-free talk providing a real education in a world filled with lies, cover-ups, and propaganda. Subscribe now and encourage your friends to do the same. Feel good about supporting real media that supports you and all life on this planet. Pick a subscription of your choice and get started on the journey down the rabbit hole. If you are financially challenged or a senior on a limited income, please send an email to maria@maria.net and she will work something out for you. There's never been a more dangerous or exciting time to be alive. Education is a necessity now. Stay informed. Subscribe today at www.meria.net.
Okay, welcome back to Roaring Truth with myself and Professor Jim Fetzer, who's just seems to be recently discovered by some of the big heavy hitters out there, and in a very positive way. But Jim, you sent me a note that I was in shock over. Okay, we already know that Amazon has banned your book. And, you know, when you look at Amazon, Google, all of them, they're all in bed with each other. But when you sent me a note that PayPal is severing your account, I could not believe that in a million years.
Yeah, for unspecified activities, which I have no doubt is complaints coming from Lenny Posner, who's one of the fake Sandy Hook parents who claims his son Noah died on 14 December 2012. But Noah's a very unusual little boy because he's also reported to have died in Pakistan on 16 December 2014, and where the death certificate that Lenny sent to Kelly Watt, with whom he had over 100 hours of conversation, turns out to be a fabrication with an authentic bottom part photoshopped to a fake top that doesn't even have a file number, has the wrong estimated time of death at 11 a.m. when all the shooting was taking place between 9:30 and 9:35, and where it appears that you know, that he is worried that if the hoax becomes known, that he may have to return more than $1 million he was given by sympathetic but gullible Americans and might even be prosecuted for fraud. So he's become very aggressive in attacking everyone who's working to bring the truth to the people about Sandy Hook.
Well, you know, Sandy Hook surely put you on the map. So, and I think about Dave McGowan and how his work on the Boston bombings put him on the map, and we know how that ended out. So people have to also understand, Jim, we take our lives in our hands, and even when both of us are deadly sick, we're still here educating people. And we need their support, you know what I mean?
Right. Like you, I'm committed to doing as much as I can, as long as I can. And I understood that there'd be a lot of heat in the kitchen before I entered the arena, but I care more about getting the truth to the American people
right.
and whether, you know, I should live a long, healthy life. In fact, I've been very happy with the ability to produce as much as I have, including especially since my retirement in 2006, where in the last 10 months, Maria, I've published 3 books already, collections of experts on Sandy Hook, another collection of experts on the Boston bombing, and the first of the 3, and I suppose we didn't go to the moon either, that talks about the moon landing hoax, about the death and replacement of Paul McCartney, about the first death of Saddam Hussein,
right,
the second
great
death
book.
Of Osama bin Laden, and the biggest and most controversy of all, the Holocaust. So it's all out there, and you can obtain it at moonrockbooks.com.
Absolutely, and that's an excellent book, but I don't think I got your latest one, so you might have to ask them to do that.
It has been sent. They're just arriving now. In the last day or two, I've had acknowledgments of the book having just arrived, the Boston book.
Uh-huh.
We had unexpected delays that held it back several weeks, but you should have a copy arriving very, very soon.
Okay, great. Yeah, I need something interesting to read. A lot of people send books to me that believe me, they're not worth reading past the introduction. I hate to say that, but it's true. Okay, so PayPal is severing your account, which I've never heard of. Okay, I've seen people get kicked off of Facebook. David Icke just went through that with Facebook. They're trying to cripple David every which way he goes. But David Cameron, the leader of the UK, actually said last week that when he was talking about some issue or whatever, he says, this is the truth. It's not some conspiracy a la David Icke. So when David Cameron is referring to David Icke, you know David's ruffling many feathers. And I think it's another way of making us all look like crazy conspiracy freaks, which is what the BBC just did to you.
Well, that was their effort, but I'm not sure they succeeded, because if you have a chance to listen, even though they edited out 80% of the reasons I had given them for concluding that Sandy Hook was an elaborate hoax, they couldn't edit it all out. And I think the fact that I had was in the middle of this cold or whatever meant that my voice had a more gravelly cast, and I think it comes across in a very persuasive fashion. I think they have an impossible task in trying to make me sound incredible.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Well, listen, the truth shall set you free, but you may not like the truth when you hear it. I was very happy and very pleased, you know, for several years. I used to have Paul Craig Roberts on my show quite often, and I really respect most of his work. And for whatever reason, I haven't had him on the show for a long time, probably because I'm too busy. But the article that he wrote, I mean, I love the plaudits that he gives you. It's about time everybody starts to realize that you're not just Joe Schmo on the street. Okay, you're not, you know, the plumber. What was that jerk that was something, the plumber, when McCain was running? I forget his name.
Yeah.
I love the kudos that he gives you, talking about your book, talking about you. And I want to read this paragraph. Fetzer cannot be dismissed as a kook. He graduated magna cum laude from Princeton University, has a PhD from Indiana University, and was Distinguished McKnight University Professor at the University of Minnesota until his retirement in 2006. He's had a National Science Foundation Fellowship. He's published more than 100 articles, 20 books on philosophy of science, philosophy of cognitive science. He's an expert in artificial intelligence and computer science, and founded the international journal Minds and Machines. In the late 90s, Fetzer was asked to organize a symposium on philosophy of mind. I mean, that's huge, okay? Because I think, you know, I know the scuttlebutt about you, and I always defend all my co-hosts. But a lot of people want to act like you're just Joe Schmuck from Schmuckville when they don't want to pay attention to the fact that you're extremely well-educated and well-versed.
Yeah, now actually the Boston is my 32nd book, Maria.
Oh, my God.
And something I think they had trouble with on the BBC in this recent attempt to smear me was he actually goes through my background and credentials and lets you understand where I come from and that I have an extensive, distinguished record for my research and scholarship, not to mention my teaching. I think it's much, much more difficult to try to dismiss me as a tinfoil hat.
Right. And as a veteran, a real veteran, more than most of these people running for office, you really served your country.
I think that's another important point, too. They tried to skim over it, but at the end, it comes back out. So I believe they were unsuccessful here. The article, by the way, is entitled, Are Americans Living in a False Reality Created by Orchestrated Events? And where he talks about my research on Sandy Hook and the Boston bombing, and he gives a link to an interview I did with Sean Stone, the son of Oliver Stone, on his program Buzzsaw. And subsequently, Maria, because by coincidence, I was in the Pacific Northwest giving talks in both Seattle and Portland about false flag events, where I was covering five at one time at their request. That would not have been my normal preference. I would rather go into great detail about one event right. for as much as an hour and a half. Here I covered five, 9/11, the Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, San Bernardino, and Paris. And he linked to both of them, the second of which is entitled Professor Fetzer Gives Us a Tour Through False Flag Events, right on his own blog, which you can also find online under the heading False Flags, from 9/11 to Sandy Hook and beyond. And I got to say, Maria, the fellow Mark Snyder, who edited that, did a brilliant job. I mean, in less than 1 hour, you can get the bare bones of these five false flags, and you can see the pattern. It's very difficult to be taken in once you understand the pattern.
Absolutely. It's easy to see. I mean, even my listeners now can figure out a false flag as soon as it's happening because they know the pattern and what to look for.
In San Bernardino, for example, we even have uncovered the Craigslist ad for extras. I mean, how bad is that?
I know.
And in Boston, Maria, we not only had exposed the Hollywood blood, the fake blood, which isn't present when the purported bombs go off. There's a lot of smoke, bodies with missing limbs, but no blood, which Lorraine Day, who was for 25 years the head of trauma surgery at San Francisco General Hospital, observes as a physiological impossibility. But we've even discovered the smoke machine that produced the smoke. Nathan Foulkes, a Hollywood producer, director, had pointed out to me long ago that a key player wearing a cowboy hat was an actor he cast in one of his own films. His name is Carlos Arredondo. And he had suggested to me that not only was the blood fake, but that the smoke had come from a smoke machine. And would you believe in chapter 7 of the Boston book, we have a photograph of the smoke machine that was discovered by Alan William Powell, who contributed the key chapters of 50 photographs about the furnishing of the Lonza home, 50 photographs about the refurbishing of the school to the Sandy Hook book, and now has two chapters to the Boston book, which include one of the smoke machine, which was so significant, I put it on the back cover of the book.
Right. Well, you know, Paul Craig Roberts had said that Professor Jim Fetzer tells us things that the prestitutes do not. You know, when I look at people who still want to believe the news or Fox News or CNN or MSNBC, I can't believe that they can so easily be mind controlled and brainwashed by nothing but lies. And I mean, this election is breaking up families, Jim. I had an article, I think, yesterday about how many people are running to psychiatrists now because of their fear of Trump winning. Psychiatrists going to psychiatrists. I mean,
you're kidding me.
Yeah, it was quite an article. If you want, I'll look for it and send it to you.
Maria, listen, look, Trump is actually a nationalist and a populist. He wants to put the interests of the United States ahead of those of other nations. And he wants to put the interests of the people ahead of those of the bankers and the warmongers. He has forthrightly condemned the wars in the Middle East and called out W and Cheney for lying to us in order to invade Iraq, and explained how all these wars in the Middle East have cost us $4 to $5 trillion. It's turned the Middle East into chaos and done no good whatsoever for the United States. I mean, for that, I admire him beyond words. No other candidate comes close.
Mm-hmm. Well, he did slap them down, and that was a happy day when Jeb Bush stepped down. What do you think about the fact they're pushing on Paul Ryan to consider running for the nomination?
I don't think that's going to go anywhere any more than Michael Bloomberg is going to go anywhere.
Can you imagine a twerp like him, President? I'm like, oh, my God.
Paul Ryan, yeah.
I could think of a lot more people that would be better as president. Starting
with
you.
They're grasping after straws, Maria. I mean, look, after March 15th, where I predict not only is Trump going to handily defeat Marco Rubio in Florida, but he's also going to defeat Kasich in Ohio, and it's all going to, but sealing the deal, because those are two winner-take-all states with a very large number of delegates. It makes his path to the nomination all the more effortless from that point on. And where today I believe he's going to triumph in Michigan, which will be the most significant, and in Mississippi. Hawaii has a caucus where the Republican leaders can manipulate the outcome. That leaves the one most interesting and doubt in my judgment in Idaho, where it is a primary, but it's a small state. And the officials of the GOP could play an important role in manipulating an outcome to favor Cruz.
Well, when do they actually have to pick the nominee? When does that happen? Because I'm so over covering this election already.
Oh, it's just a matter of whether he gets a magic number before the convention. If he goes into the convention one delegate short, they're going to make sure he's deprived and thereby destroy the Republican Party, because the tens of millions who are supporting Trump aren't going to be happy if he's the leading candidate that they have chosen themselves through a democratic process, and then their will is thwarted by Republican leaders who don't want to surrender control of the party to Donald Trump. They want to keep it unto themselves, their old boys' network, all their contracts, all their agreements with the lobbyists and the corporations that have made them fat and happy by representing special interests rather than the American people. So they're petrified that Donald Trump could actually stand up for the American people. And I got to say, Sean Hannity was extremely good about this when others were vilifying Trump as some kind of neo-Nazi. He was pointing out that Trump is actually a nationalist and a populist. It was a commendable moment for Sean Hannity.
Huh. Well, you know, you look at America, we have, the economy's in the shitter. No matter what they say, anybody that believes our unemployment is at 4% isn't paying attention. If the Flint water crisis, you look at that, you look at Indian Point, you look at that gas leak in Porter Ranch, California. One thing I find incredible, Jim, is they never say or even say they're going to investigate it to see whether it was an act of terrorism. But, if they had a Muslim to blame for that, I'm sure they'd roll that out, too. But here you have the governor of Michigan who needs to be impeached and go to jail. But nobody ever uses the word terrorism when what looks like it could very easily be a terrorist attack is happening. As long as it's happening through, you know, the big money people, you know, oops, I made a mistake and poisoned my whole state for 2 years. They don't ever have any kind of recourse. Nothing ever seems to happen to these people. To me, that's terrorism. Knowingly feeding people lead in their water is terrorism.
Officially, it appears to have been a cost-benefit analysis that didn't calculate the health effects, where it was going to be cheaper to use a different source of water, and where they never gave any consideration to the effects it was going to have on the population, which are so massively detrimental to their health, especially for pregnant women. It's lead that causes brain damage from which you never recover.
Right. And, you know, like most states, they're still trying to cut back, you know, access to abortion clinics, forcing women to carry deformed children or children they don't want. And I'm glad the Supreme Court this week knocked that down, but we'll see how long that lasts. I also was reading an article about three people that are supposedly being vetted for the Supreme Court. Originally, Obama was talking about Loretta Lynch, who's 100% on the side of the police state, so that would be a very bad thing.
And she's a nobody anyway. You know, the very idea of nominating someone that, with no reputation or history, is a bad one to begin with.
Right. But, you know, I mean, Obama does have a right to put somebody on there, and he's supposed to put somebody on there. Right. But we'll see what happens there. You know, it's like,
who are the others that he was considering?
I didn't save that information, but two of them are judges. Right. I know two of them are already judges. Another one could be the first Hindu in the Supreme Court. It looks like he's going for the ethnic pick, which I have no problem with.
We've had 6 Catholics and 3 Jews on the court. That's pretty bizarre all by itself.
I agree. And they say we're a Christian nation. Well, at least one dopest day is dead, and that's Scalia. And
the stuff about Scalia just gets worse and worse, Maria. He does appear to have been very deeply involved in a pedophile ring. We had a report from this one fellow who has published a book called Rabbit Hole. You can find it on Amazon. Add the extra word satanic, because there are several with that title, about having been abused himself by Scalia, and talking about this having been a retaliation by a 13-year-old boy that Scalia was abusing, who slit his throat. It's a stunning story, and there appears to be a lot to it, I'm sorry to say, because this is a such a disgrace.
Well, it would make sense then that his family wouldn't have wanted to have an autopsy, you know?
Right.
I mean, they may have known all along just, you know, what he was up to.
Right.
So, you know, that went quickly away. It's sort of like how they got rid of Bin Laden's body with a burial at sea, which you and I both know never happened.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to somebody about 9/11 and I was talking about, I remember, I can forget her first name. Was it Yvonne Wachter?
Yes.
You remember when we had her on the show?
Sure, of course.
Said her son had gotten an award for taking out Bin Laden and his 2 sons.
He got the Distinguished Flag Cross.
Mm-hmm. But you
and
know,
he was feted by the Reverend Robert Schiller at the Crystal Cathedral, whose services are all televised. And the following day, he was directed back to the Pentagon, where he was informed that while they admired his flying skills and officially Saddam Hussein got away, because someone had realized that 3 different presidents, Carter, Reagan, and Ford, had signed executive orders precluding the assassination of the head of a foreign state, so that if Bush flew on to the USS Lincoln and announced they'd taken out Saddam, he would have been acknowledging he'd committed a violation of the law.
Right. Thanks for correcting me. For some reason, I said Bin Laden. It's hard to keep track of all these political assassinations.
No. It's... I write about that and have, you know, there's a chapters co-authored with Yvonne Wachter in the book, and no, I suppose we didn't go to the moon either.
Right. But, you know, who are you going to believe, folks? Are you still going to keep believing your government? Because all they're going to do is lie to you until you're dead. Jim, this was like the fastest show we've done in a long time. And both of us are sick, so we still pulled it off. But thank you so much. And I guess I'll talk with you again in a couple of weeks when we do our Born in the 40s show.
My great pleasure, Maria. Let's follow, see what happens here politically. This is chaos in America.
I know. It's just a circus indeed, for sure. Thanks so much, Jim. I'll talk to you soon.
You got it.
Jim Fetzer, check out his work because he's done the homework. Okay, he's given you proof, pictures. What else do you need? Fingerprints? And I can't believe PayPal is going to axe him. I mean, first of all, Amazon did, and now this. So let's all send good energy and protection to Jim Fetzer, and I wouldn't mind a little of that myself. Anyway, thanks for supporting the show. Thanks for having an open mind. Thanks for being a free thinker. And I'll see you guys on Thursday when I'm back with news of Planet of the Apes.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.